Juliet Dogcast Radio. If you like dogs, wherever you are in the world, we're the show for you.
Hello, and welcome to episode 292 of Dogcast Radio, which is about dog loss. And I warn you now, it's an emotional one. You may not make it through without crying. I certainly didn't. You've probably seen headlines about Lewis Hamilton's much-loved bulldog, Roscoe, dying, and the toll that's taken on Lewis. His pain and loss will resonate with pet owners everywhere. It started with this Instagram post from Lewis. "Please keep Roscoe in your thoughts. I want to keep you all updated. Roscoe caught pneumonia again and was struggling to breathe. He was admitted into hospital and sedated to calm him while they did checks on him, and during the process, his heart stopped. They managed to get a heartbeat back, and now he's in a coma. We don't know whether he will wake from this. Tomorrow, we'll try to wake him up. I'm by his side, and I want to thank you all for your prayers and support." In the following days, Lewis pulled out of work commitments to be with his dog, something many of us have had to do, or have wanted to do, if we're lucky enough to be able to do that, and to have an understanding employer. A few days later, there was this sad Instagram post. "After 4 days on life support, fighting with every bit of strength he had, I had to make the hardest decision of my life and say goodbye to Roscoe. He never stopped fighting right until the very end. I feel so grateful and honoured to have shared my life with such a beautiful soul, an angel and true friend. Bringing Roscoe into my life was the best decision I ever made, and I will forever cherish the memories we created together. Although I lost Coco, I have never been faced with putting a dog to sleep before, though I know my mum and many close friends have. It is one of the most painful experiences, and I feel a deep connection to everyone who has gone through the loss of a beloved pet. Although it was so hard, having him was one of the most beautiful parts of life, to love so deeply and to be loved in return. Thank you all for the love and support you've shown Roscoe over the years. It's been so special to witness and feel. He died on Sunday evening, 28th September, in my arms." Oh, what a very sad and difficult post to make. Because as bad as losing your dog is, somehow telling other people makes it more real and it hurts more. We send condolences to Lewis and to everyone grieving their dog, or indeed grieving at all. Hopefully, Lewis Hamilton's openness in sharing his grief shines an important light on a subject many still struggle to talk about, or possibly even to think about. While Hamilton has spoken publicly, many people, particularly men, feel they can't express their grief or seek help, even from their employers. Yet the bond we share with our pets is profound, and losing them can be every bit as painful as losing a human family member. Annalisa de Carteret, Pet Loss Support Manager at Blue Cross, says it's vital to break down stigma around pet bereavement and encourages people to reach out to the charity's Pet Loss Support Service. I warn you, I do become emotional in this interview. Here it is. Hi, Annalisa.
Hi, Julie. Nice to meet you.
Hi, and you. Now, we're going to talk about quite a sad but important subject, because I can remember panicking when I got my Labrador, my first dog, and panicking, thinking, I don't want to think about him dying. I just don't want to think about it. But it is something we have to confront, sadly, quite a few times if you have more than one dog or if you have cats as well. So, Lewis Hamilton, his bulldog Roscoe, has passed away. That's made headlines round the world. I have to say, let's go back to just before the death. That dog lived a good life.
Good life, obviously, being the dog of Lewis Hamilton, but it doesn't matter if your dog's had a good life or a good length of life. Obviously, for a bull dog, it was a really good age, but that doesn't make any difference when you lose that animal. No. It's still devastating.
Yeah, that's true, actually, because we've had animals that we've lost, we've had rabbits we've lost from a few days old. We had lost a cat at 11 months. Buddy was 15 and a half. Buddy was my Labrador. It doesn't matter, because you either go, they should have had more, or, oh my goodness, I've had all this time with this animal and now I'm devastated. So it isn't about the quality or length of life. It's just you've lost a really, really good friend, haven't you?
Yeah. And you often hear people say, oh, well, they had a good life, trying to make people feel better, to try and make them feel better from their grief. But that's not going to make them feel better. They, we're human nature, isn't it, to try and cheer people up, but actually we need to go through that grieving process. And with Lewis Hamilton being so high profile, it's been great for him to be able to talk about it. So it makes it less of a taboo subject.
Yeah, definitely. Because I mean, I lost Buddy in 2018. I'm welling up now, but I can still become very, very upset. There is no cut-off point. I know we go through stages, but there is no cut-off. You don't sort of go, pull yourself together now. You should be better now, do you?
No. And with sort of social media, you have, your pictures on Facebook or Instagram and they pop up and you have that memory. Yeah. Oh, it was their birthday, or you went for that lovely walk. And then you're like, some days you'll look at it and think, oh, that was lovely, I had so much good memories. Other days you're like, oh, I just want to do that again and have them back.
Yeah.
And there's no rhyme or reason. You might have gone for months not, you know, thinking about them and it always been positive, and then, you know, and then it hits you, you know, at the sometimes the strangest of moments.
Yeah. I didn't understand that. Grief is very twisted, and I don't know, it felt to me like an unpredictable, very fierce creature, like with its own life, that would just attack me at times, and I had no control over it, and I didn't know how to cope, and I just felt bewildered.
And you talked about stages of grief, don't you? People talk about the stages of grief, but actually we're all different and we all grieve differently, and those stages are good to be aware of, but that doesn't mean you're going to experience them, and that's not wrong and that's not right. We all do it differently, and we feel like we need to compare our grief to other people sometimes, but actually it's our own journey and our own grief that we have to be with and deal with in the way that works for you.
I mean I remember when maybe Buddy had been dead 6 months, I can't remember, it could have been 3 months, somebody I didn't know in real life, somebody that was a Facebook acquaintance, sent me the details of a rescue dog and went, come on, it's time now. I was outraged and just, I was enraged. There was just rage. I sent them a message, you know, I didn't swear anything, but I sent them a very strongly worded message and blocked them. And that really brought home to me exactly what you've said. There is no sort of timetable for it. And I think that's the thing. We all want to offer comfort to the person. And the instinct is you give some advice, but I think really we need to maybe ask more, where are you? What can I do? How are you feeling, do you think?
Yeah, sit with that person within their grief.
Yeah.
And be with them, be that empathic person, not put your point of view across, because actually they might not be feeling that way, or they might be feeling differently and then feeling that they're grieving wrong. It's, you know, I'm not doing the same as you, so something must be wrong with me. Or so actually sitting them and allowing them a non-judgmental space to open up, and it be about them and their grief rather than your grief. Because sometimes when you're having those conversations, you, oh yes, I understand, this happened to me, but then that conversation becomes about you and your grief, not about them and how they're feeling and where they are at.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there is a huge variety. I've known people go years, you know, have one dog, adore that dog, and then go years and then maybe have another one or never have another one. Equally, when I used to teach years and years ago, the caretaker of the school had a gorgeous German Shepherd dog who died, and he said, I'm not having another one, that's it, it's too hard, it's too difficult, I'm not having another one, I'm never doing it. And then a week later he came in and he just opened his coat and he got a tiny German Shepherd puppy, you know. And like you say, it is very, very individual and personal. And I've been lucky in that we've had like another dog already in the house that sort of helped me through. But I do think that I can understand if somebody goes and gets another dog, because or rescue, you know, whether they buy or hopefully rescue. But the house just feels dead. I mean, as well as the dog being dead, the house just feels dead without that presence, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it is, like you said, some people go and get a dog straight away or prep that. Sometimes often people have a dog and think, well, my dog's getting older, so I'm going to get another one. So you've always got that overlap. But other people are like me. I had a dog 4 years ago passed away, and I, for a long time, and still not ready to have even another dog in the house.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Because, you know, that's how I feel. But I, you know, no judgment for that person who'll get another dog straight away. If they're doing it for the right reasons, not for they want to replace Buddy or the last dog, but they want to get a new character, a new person in their life to feel that void that their home.
Yeah. And of course that's a difficulty all of its own, in that, you know, for example, I've known people that wanted the dog to swim. You know, their other dog swam, this dog must swim, and that dog didn't want to swim. And you have to try to honour them for who they are, don't you?
Yeah, and you'll have different, if you have multiple dogs through your life, you have a different emotional connection with them. Like people, you know, you have that different emotional connection, and you might feel, when you lose the second dog or the third dog, you might think, well, it feels different than the first dog, but that's because you've got a different relationship with them.
Yeah.
And then, it doesn't matter how long you've had them, it's that relationship, and it's always different. And we don't get over that grief. Some people say that you get over it, but actually you learn to live with that. Your world gets bigger around your loss, because they'll always be in your heart. They'll always be in your memories. You'll always, you know, think of them. And so it's not about getting over it. It's about learning to live with it.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, the other thing is, nobody comes around and gives you a medal and goes, you're coping very well, you know, or conversely doesn't give you a medal. But, I think that's the other thing. Are you coping? Are you, you know, you're getting on with it, things? Are you, you know? And obviously there are levels where I would say, if you really feel you're not coping, do seek help. But don't think, you know, I have to cope, I have to be 100% on and coping every day.
Yeah, and you're lucky if you have people who have pets around who understand, who've lost a pet. Because even if you have a dog or an animal and you haven't lost that pet, you might not know how it might feel for you.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, accepting that.
I do think that, I mean, grief is horrible and twisted and bitter and regret and sort of guilt is a big part of grief sometimes, or it can be. But I think grief for your pet, your dog, your cat, rabbit, whatever, can be extra complicated, because I was really, really surprised. I've said to so many people over the years, you know, you have every right to your grief for your pet, your companion animal. That was your best friend, you know, that was with you. But I did feel just a pinch in my despair over my dog. There was just that little voice going, should you really be this upset about a dog? Just that little voice was there. And I think this is why it's so important to talk about. Because once you're in the middle of grief, you can't really take things in. If you start to think, now I do have the right to that grief, and you try and think things through now, I think that will help people. Would you agree?
Yeah, no, definitely. It's preparing for that. What you want at the end, if you're thinking about that when you're clear of mind, as it were, when you're, you know, in a good space about maybe how you want it done, what you want to do with the body, how you want to remember, you know, your pet is there, you know, a paw print, all of that stuff. If you think about that beforehand, then when it happens, then you're a little bit prepared. I think we talked about that anticipatory grief earlier, about you may start grieving before you've even lost your animal. So it might be that they're getting old, or they've got an illness, and you know the time is coming. So you start your grieving before your pet has gone, your dog has gone. Yeah. And then that often goes unrecognized, because people think, well, you've still got them, why are you worried? But then you're preparing for that.
Yeah.
But then that doesn't mean your grief afterwards is going to be, you know, you might have processed some of those things, but you might process them all over again.
Yeah.
You said about you're ultimately responsible for your animal, aren't you? So
Yeah. There's
things like the guilt comes in to that, about, am I doing it at the right time? Am I doing it for the dog? Am I doing it for me? You know, did I do enough? All of those things can, and you're ultimately responsible for that decision. Obviously, Lewis Hamilton said that it was the first time he experienced having the decision to put an animal to sleep, and that can affect you in a different way as well than, you know, having a pet lost for natural causes.
Absolutely. I think that complicates things as well. And I am emotional at the moment. I'm just going to have a second. But
I'm sorry.
I know. Well, it hits you, doesn't it? And things come back to you. Right. But that complicates things. I'm sorry, I'm going to try and push on as best I can, but it really complicates things, because we shall subtitle this. But the fact that you have to decide to kill, and I know it can be for the best interest of the dog or the cat or whatever, but that decision that you have to make goes contrary to everything you've done for the life of that animal. Sorry, can you understand me? Okay.
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
Right. And it's such, you know, it's such a traumatic time. I think it really, really hits hard. And you're right. It's a very different thing. We've had animals die unexpectedly and it's hurt. But the fact that for some of them, we've had to make that decision, which goes contrary to every instinct you've got.
Yeah.
Is so, so hard to do. And I'm sorry I'm upset, but it does show people. Sorry. It is.
It's tough, and showing your emotion will help, you know, the listeners show that it's okay to be that, and talking about it brings up all those memories and those and those things, and that all, you know, and that's okay, and people, we talked about people not wanting to talk about it, maybe they don't have anyone talk about it with, or they feel like no one's going to understand. Again, going back to Lewis Hamilton, he was lucky he didn't have to go to the tire trial. He had a supportive workplace around him to allow him to do that. But often people in that workplace maybe have, you know, bosses and things, or don't have a policy where pet loss is in, you know, involved in that. So they have to go and work and have to carry on when they maybe just want to put the duvet over their head and have a day or two to just be.
Yeah, yeah. But you see, again, I mean, I was very lucky that I was working for a dog holiday company, just doing some PR for them. Yeah. And I lost Buddy. And within a couple of days, I was due to go out and do some PR for them. And Anne said to me, oh, don't go. And I said, no, look, I need to go. I need to distract myself. I'm just caught in this circle of this vortex of grief kind of thing, and I need to go out and break that cycle, and I did, and it was what I needed. But she was absolutely there for me and absolutely saying, you don't have to, and that was brilliant. But you're right, not all bosses, and I imagine this can be a huge problem for people, not all bosses, employers, understand the love of and the grief for our animals, do they?
No, and you hear people say, well, it's just a dog, you can get another one, all of those things. But they're part of the family, obviously, like we said, we're responsible for them. They're in our, you know, especially dogs, they're in our homes, aren't they? And they're just there, aren't they? That constant, the non-judgmental listening ear, that cuddle, that whatever, that walk, whatever that is, that your whole lifestyle, and then it's gone, and you know.
Yeah. It's such a constant supporting presence that's always there. And, you know, I used to feel whether I wanted to go for a walk or whether I wanted to sit on the sofa and enjoy a coffee or whatever, you know, Buddy was always there. And that's a huge thing to lose. It's really a big, you know, a comfort to lose.
Yeah, definitely. Me and my husband still, when we have pizza, Alfie, do you want some pizza crumbs? And he's, you know, just because.
Yeah.
And we'll do that forever. But, you know, they are, you know, part of our lives.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. They get right into your heart, and it really hurts to lose them. I, you know, I've talked about this before. I do see myself as our pet's parent, not in a silly, fluffy way, but in the way that I meet those needs. You know, I feed them, I educate them, I entertain them, I chauffeur them round. And I think they live in the part of your emotions where children live. And that's, again, so complicates things if you do lose them. It's a horrible, I say it's a brutal time, and it really does hit hard. And if you think about it beforehand, you may be a little bit more prepared. You are more prepared to support others about it, to advocate for others. You know, if there's somebody that you're working with who's clearly having a bad time grieving for their animal and your employer perhaps doesn't understand, maybe you could, you know, advocate and step in for them. What would you say, what's your advice for people if they are, if they can't cope with work, or perhaps if they've got a colleague that can't cope with the work just in that, you know, grieving time?
Yeah, and if your employee doesn't understand, you know, if you've maybe got some loo time or some holiday, take, you know, it's okay to take that holiday to do that. And it's important for your well-being to be able to look after yourself, or reach out to talk to people who understand. Obviously, us at Blue Cross at the Pet Loss Support Service, everyone who volunteers for us has lost an animal, so really does understand. So it's reaching out to those people who you know that will understand and will listen and will be that non-judgmental ear if you haven't got that support network around you. Or even if you have, it may be that you feel like they don't want to hear it anymore. Or you're talking, obviously, when we're grieving, we may talk about the same thing over and over again, and you think, oh, they don't want to hear this again. Well, you know, reach out to the Pet Loss Support Service, because we can be that listening ear in whatever avenue that you feel that you want to communicate. Because sometimes picking up the phone can be quite scary, especially if you're upset. You don't know maybe what to say, or, you know, you don't know if you're going to get your words out. So, you know, we've got email and web chat and, you know, a Facebook page, which is a really, really lovely community with nearly 30,000 members. And it's a place where people can share their stories, feel less alone, because it can feel really lonely, especially when you've got people around you that maybe don't understand or don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. That's really lovely, actually, because, you know, one of my problems, that there seems to be some pathway between sort of brain, emotion and mouth, that if I go to say something, as you saw, I will cry. I can't. There are certain words, certain phrases, emotions, experiences I can't talk about without I've gone. And I have to sort of, just temporarily for the interview, just push it to the back of my head and you know, think about other things. Now, and I was going to say, the thing, I know exactly what triggered me then. I will put it in the show notes. I can't possibly say it because I'll go again. But that's lovely that people can write and can talk and message each other and post to each other. That must be a huge support for people.
Yeah, it's feeling you're in a community and you're less alone, and you're not, you know, the only one maybe going through those experiences, because it can feel lonely, especially if you haven't talked to someone who knows what you're going, and you're like, am I strange, weird, because I'm having these emotions? Is it, you know, is there something wrong with me? But all of those emotions you do have are completely normal and completely natural and okay. And having that outlet to be able to talk to someone can help. Even if it's, you know, writing a long email or writing a letter to your pet or whatever that is, it's a way of, you know, or journaling or whatever works for you. It's getting out on paper, not sort of thinking about it over and over in your head, because that can sometimes, you know, cause, you know, anxiety and issues.
I think that's right, because it's finding what works for you. And I know my daughter has found great comfort in journaling and loves journaling. And sometimes they will say, look at my journal, this is what I, you know, what I've done. And some bits of it I know are so private, they just will not show us, they won't share that with us. And that's, you know, that's perfectly fine. But they found great comfort in journaling.
I was going to say, or even writing that letter and then burning it. Yes. So then it's sort of, and that could be a ritual, you know, and people, when they lose pets, often don't have a ceremony or have that memorial thing, you know, that, you know, a funeral or, you know, or doing something, you know, to remember their pet. And that's okay as well. And that's okay to do. And some people think, well, maybe I can't do that. But whatever brings you comfort, especially if you've got small children or in the family, that can be really helpful for that closure.
Yeah, definitely. But I think joining that kind of community and possibly joining that kind of community before you're in that situation, you know, while your pet's still healthy and death is a long way off and you can sort of go, no, death's never visiting us. But possibly joining that kind of community now will help you, will prepare you. Yeah. Because some of the ideas to memorialise your animal, your dog or whatever, don't occur to you until it's too late. Whereas if you join that kind of community now and you see how other people have have commemorated their animal. That can help you at your time of grief, can't it?
Yeah, definitely. And we, and as a service, we're here for anticipatory grief. We are here for that pre-loss as well, because actually that you know, you might want to talk about maybe if it's the right time or what you want to do. We're here to talk to you about that as well, and processing that. And you said, you know, you might think death is a long way off, but, you know, it's not going to happen to me. You could argue a little bit that is, you're grieving, you're in denial, you're denying it's going to happen, so you're in that process already. So yeah, you know, it's good to think about those things. Because you don't know when it can happen, because you might have an accident, or it might not be a death. Your, you know, animal might get stolen, or something might happen to you. You might have to rehome them for financial reasons. You know, there's lots of other reasons why you can lose a pet, and, you know, and it's just, it can have that, the same effect on you.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you see, that is one of, to me, the most complicated areas of grief, because if a dog, we'll say dog, but whatever the animal is. Yeah. But if a dog goes missing or is stolen, there are so many, and my heart breaks for the people, and there are so many of them. The dog's gone. They get no closure. And, you know, and then you can tell that they're thinking, well, would, you know, sometimes years have passed. Would the dog even still be alive now? And that is, I really don't know how they deal with that. So that's definitely something that needs a lot of support and patience and understanding, doesn't it? Compassion.
Yeah, it's really tough. Like you said, you don't get that closure. And then you have that odd news article, don't you, saying they found the dog 15 years later. So you've always got that little bit of hope, isn't it? It isn't having that closure in it. It's tough, but it's, again, being that listening ear, being that non-judgmental person, and allowing that person to talk about how they're feeling and have a outlet for that.
Yeah, yeah. So I know there will be people listening to this who are going through grief. And I lost Buddy. Well, you know, you can have lost an animal years ago and it still is affecting you and hitting you. And, you know, it's in your head and your heart. So how can people find the pet loss support from Blue Cross?
So if you go onto our website, all of our information is on there of how to contact us. So we have a telephone line, which is 0800 096 6606, and we're open every day of the year from 8:30 to 8:30. And then you can email us at plsmail@bluecross.org.uk, email us at any time. And then we've got web chat, which is sort of instant messaging, which you'll find on our website. Again, open from 8:30 to 8:30, and that sort of instant sort of messaging. Because with an email, we might not reply within 48 hours. That's our sort of time scale, obviously, because it takes a little bit more time to get back to you. But with that web chat, it's that instant support. And then we've got our, as I said earlier, our pet loss Facebook page, which is Blue Cross Pet Loss Support Community. And you can, there's a few questions and things to ask, but it's just that safe space to be able to share stories and get support from other people that really do understand.
Yeah, I'm going to join because often it's 2 o'clock in the morning when it hits you and you think, oh, I need to say something, I need some comfort. And to know, because you're not always assured on the internet, there are some funny people out there, you're not always assured of a sympathetic ear. Whereas to know you're in a community of like-minded people, you know, that will offer you that support at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm not the only one awake at 2 o'clock, I know. but that would be lovely to have that as a resource. That would be lovely.
And all of the people who are our support, that support on our support lines, are volunteers. So if you felt like you would like to be a volunteer, do get in touch. We do say to leave at least 6 months before you apply, just so if you've lost a pet, just because you need to do your own grieving, you need to look after yourself before you can support others. Like we spoke about right at the beginning of the session, is that it's about their loss. If you're a volunteer for us, it's about their loss, not your loss. You need to be able to process that before you volunteer for us. But we can offer the service if we have our amazing volunteers.
Oh, so brilliant.
If you're interested, please do get in touch.
Brilliant. I'm not sure I could compartmentalise that much. You've seen I can go like that at the drop of a hat, but brilliant. It's a lovely service. Thank you so much for telling us all about that and supporting people, you know, when they really, really need it. Is there anything else that you'd like to say that we haven't had a chance to say yet?
No, I think we've covered quite a lot of of topics. It is an emotive subject. It, you know, it touches us, you know, if we've owned a pet, it touches, you know, our hearts in, you know, and it's unfortunate. We all, the people who we have love pets, but they don't live as long as us. So we're going to experience this a few times in our lives. So getting that support is really important.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's an important message for people. There is support there. You're not on your own. Lots of us have those feelings. I've shown that I've got those feelings still. But, you know, you're not on your own. Just and I know it can be so difficult to reach out and go, I'm not coping. Or even I'm not coping today, you know, or I'm not coping right now. And in half an hour time, I'll feel a lot better. But just reach out and say to somebody, I'm not coping right now. You know, help me.
Yeah. I need some time to do some self-care or talk about how I'm feeling. No, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks ever so much, Annalisa, and the best of luck.
Thank you. Thanks, Julie.
I hope that helped you. Thanks to Annalisa for that very honest and open interview and all the advice. The links and ways to get help she mentioned are in the show notes on dogcastradio.com. If you need to talk about pet loss, do pick up the phone and talk to Blue Cross or to a friend or reach out and find comfort somehow. I know losing your dog is brutal, and I found the surge of guilt was overwhelming. I also feel that although the immediate aftermath of the loss is acute and raw, grief doesn't go away. It lingers and loiters in the shadows, scuttling out sometimes unexpectedly. There's no timetable, there's no right or wrong, there's no moral high ground in coping. Whatever gets you through, being quiet or weeping and wailing, and the latter is me, find your way through grief. You're not alone. For more information on pet bereavement leave, listen to episode 280 of Dogcast Radio. Until next time, look after yourselves and your dogs. Thanks for listening to Dogcast Radio, available from www.dogcastradio.com. That's dogcastradio.com. If you'd like to get in touch with us, and wherever you are in the world, we'd love to hear from you. You can do so in a variety of ways. You can contact us on Skype with the ident Dogcast Radio. That's all one word, Dogcast Radio. By email, you can contact me on julie@dogcastradio.com. When contacting us by email, if you have the facilities, please record your questions or comments and send them to us as an audio file. That way we can include them directly in our programme. We can accept most formats, for example, WAV, MP3. All these methods of contacting us can be found on our website, which is www.dogcastradio.com. Two dogs are sitting in a bar. The first one says, "Want to hear a joke?" The second dog says, "Sure." The first dog says, "Knock, knock." The second dog says, "Woof, woof, 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 woof."